Thank you all for coming. It's a great pleasure for me to do these mornings, to have these mornings with you. And I really continue to somehow deepen in my gratitude and my appreciation that we can do this together and that you want to spend time with me on these mornings. So thank you very much. It's a great, great pleasure. And I found this morning as I was reading your statements of resource and of pain that my sense of resource and my capacity to hold or to encompass the pain that's happening and the fears that go with it is deepened by your sharing. So I wanted to thank you for that. It's a precious gift to me to that you do this. So thank you for that. And for those of you who are new to this or who haven't been with us since before we changed the structure, I'll be talking for a bit and then we go into the meditation and then those who wish can share and we'll finish after an hour at the latest. The meditation is approximately 30 minutes, sometimes shorter, sometimes longer. And and it's, as you can hear, it's really valuable if you want to join next time as well that you send your statements because I really do use them. And it shapes my thinking about what I want to share with you. So, and what struck me this morning was that we're still in this phase of this crisis, this corona crisis, where on the one hand we're dealing with the immediate present and future, the stressors or the pain that we have of not being able to take care of loved ones the way we want to, not being able to reach out to our own resources the way that we want to. And that's a kind of an immediate sense of difficulty. And we have similarly some resources that are also immediate. We can dance, we can find the resources in our own body, in our own body practices. That's one of the strong resources that many of you mention. Another one is nature. Those of you who are able to go out in nature, or even to absorb nature from indoors, to feel this belonging that nature always offers us. So that's a second strong resource, and the third strong resource is our relationships. Those of us who have immediate family who can reach out and there's somebody there, which is also difficult because we get into more fights and more difficulties when we're shut in, but it can also be a resource for us. So those are the three resources. Also, the third one, this sense of community, is also being able to reach out to others. Many of us have friends and loved ones that we actually don't see every day, where we're used to connecting with them on Skype or on Zoom or by telephone, and that doesn't feel as different. So there are some things that haven't changed as much, and that's also a resource. So we have these possibilities. Some of you mentioned more time. There's more time to do things that you have missed doing before. And if we listen to the greater parts of society, we hear all of these, we can read about them in the newspapers, we can hear about them, that these are places that people go for resources. These are the pains that we share. We are, each of us has our own view of that, just as each of us can only see with our own eyes, but we all have eyes. So this is part of our current management, and that's important. The other part of our pain these days has to do with seeing the future, we're, as soon as we're over the kind of immediate part of the crisis, we start to think about the future. And normally the way our brain works is that our brain likes to imagine that the future is going to be kind of like the past was. That's not because, you know, it's not because there's something wrong with us. It's the way brains work. And of course, we all know intellectually that the future is never going to be exactly like the past. But in times like this, it becomes really, really clear that there's a good chance that the future is going to be somewhat different, and different in ways that frighten us. So we get scared. And then another brain dynamic comes into play. So we have this fear of the future that somehow starts with realizing that the future, we don't know what it's going to be like. And in that, there are actually two possibilities which relate to our sense of resource and pain. And the two possibilities are, or the two aspects that are present, is on the one hand, there's fear of this. It's scary. We don't know what's going to happen. That's a natural fear. In one system that I work with, system-centered therapy, they call it the fear at the edge of the unknown. The fear at the edge of the unknown. And when we realize it, we're actually always at the edge of the unknown. The edge of the unknown is where we stand at each moment. It's just that sometimes it's much more obvious than others. And sometimes the unknown is much bigger than at other times. The other thing that we find at the edge of the unknown is curiosity. And curiosity actually lives at the same level of our organism and our awareness as fear does. It lives at the level of the autonomic nervous system. We become curious. We wonder what might happen. So that balance in the present about the future is also what helps us, because our fear thinking leads us to a sense of helplessness. And I've found this this morning to let's see if we can, there we are. This quality of helplessness is one of the things that actually tends to get us into a sense of a quality of trauma, which is well known, has been well known for many decades, that trauma is about learned helplessness. We experience a sense of danger and we feel that we can't do anything about it. And I actually bought it from a child in a yard sale 15 years ago or so. And it's always to me been such a wonderful symbol of that feeling of helplessness. I can't do anything. So here I am trying to hold on to myself. And the research that's done on that actually shows that that this is what creates trauma. This is what creates post-traumatic stress, not the difficulty itself, but the feeling of helplessness. And the interesting part of that research is also that it doesn't matter whether what you're doing has an effect in the greater world or not. What matters is the agency itself, the ability, the experience of being able to do something. And there's an old story about that, that you have probably heard in dozens of versions, just like I have. And it's a story about, in some versions, it's a young woman, in others, it's an old man. Today, I'm going to use the old man. And he's walking along the beach, and there's just been this huge storm. And the storm has thrown hundreds of thousands of starfish up on the beach, and they're dying. And he's grieving, and then he decides, well, I can do something. So he picks up a starfish and he throws it out into the water as far as he can. And then he picks up another one, walks a couple of steps, picks up another one that's moving a little bit, throws it out into the water. And then another person comes by and says, why, what are you doing that for? It doesn't make a difference. I mean, look at them. They're all dying. It doesn't make a difference if you throw out a few. And he kind of collapses. He sort of collapses into this feeling, this state here. And he sort of walks along like that for a little bit. And then he thinks, he picks up another one. He throws it out as far as he can. And he says, made a difference to that one. And that, I think, is the point. And we share that quality, making a difference to something, making a difference to ourselves. How do we make a difference? How do we make a difference? Where is our agency? What is it I'm able to do? And we sometimes think of that as very unmanageable, but actually it's a capacity that we share with pigeons. If you stress pigeons and they find that they're able to do something, like peck on a button and then maybe things won't be as bad, they won't get an electric shock, then they get less stressed because they can do something. Children who are kidnapped, the children that kind of sit down and give up, they get PTSD. The children that manage to make a plan, start thinking about what can we do here. 6 months later, they don't have the same level of symptoms. So there's something very, very deep in us all that wants to be able to do something. And in that, it's worth noticing that we have a tendency to go back to here and say, well, it doesn't really make a difference. There's a part of us that says, well, you know, even if you can do something, it's not going to make a difference. But it does. It makes a difference in your nervous system. And it's amazing the level of outreach that can make a difference to someone else. Sometimes it's that somebody remembers you. Sometimes it's that somebody is willing to connect. Sometimes it's that somebody is grateful for your presence. So, anyhow, does this make sense to you? Yeah? You are allowed to shake your head if it doesn't. Sometimes pep talks are awful, but this was what struck me this morning. Do I have any head shakes as well? Something that doesn't make sense to? No, not yet. Okay. And I had another figure with me, as I would like to show you this morning, which was another thing that has come up quite a bit. This lady here, I'm going to hold her a little bit farther away. As you can see, she's in a very similar position in many ways, both of them. She's in a similar position, but also a very different position. She's actually carrying something, but she's not carrying something that's too heavy for her. And she's sitting quite comfortably, holding what she's holding. And that was another thing that a lot of you were writing about, this capacity to hold, but not to hold with a sense of burden. And for some of us, that means realizing that we hold together. We're holding with others, that we're not alone in this. We have a society that for many years has been focusing on our individualism, our individuality. But when you go to the heart of each of us, as we start to drift deeper, to relax deeper, to drop deeper into the sense of the heart, in each of us, our heart. What we find is actually the heart in all of us. So, from there, I'd like to start our meditation. And I'd like to start it, as usual, with stretching. And Krista, who's managing our tech, has promised that if I stretch in ways where my microphone gets noisy, she'll let me know. Stretching arms. And if you've washed your hands, you can touch your face. And touch your head. You can use whatever piece of furniture you're sitting on to play with finding some strange angles. And see if you might find some yawns. And notice how stretching both has a sense of relaxing and also a sense of enlivening. Just like yawning. And one of the things that's really good to do while stretching is actually to feel into the parts of your body that are being stretched. It's often fairly large areas. Like it's not just an arm. We have a desire to, when we stretch an arm, we kind of tend to stretch part of our back or part of our the muscles on our sides, or leaning back and stretching the front of our body. And we can only see the tops of each other, but remember to stretch your feet. Are your feet warm? If they're not warm, you might want to rub them, give them a little bit of a massage. Or you can rub them with each other. Those of you who, like me, have glasses can also give your face another massage. And today, take a bit of time to also massage the area under your chin, which is where your tongue lives. Or starch from down there. Which might give you some more yawns. And massage your throat. Your neck might want some massage too, but today I'd like you to massage your throat too. It actually gives some impulses down to your vagus system, which is part of what we need to keep in really good shape during this time. We want our stress system to respond to some care, some self-care right now. I notice I haven't been giving or getting any shoulder rub to myself for a while. See if there are any other parts of your body that would like a bit of massage from you. My thighs. Ooh. And there may be more yawns in there. And taking a moment to bring your attention to your breathing. You can keep on moving if you like. Yawning counts as breathing too. And noticing if there are any areas that are still painful or that have emotional stress, like this sense of pain or stress or worry, any parts of the body that are involved in that right now. And just allowing them to be there along with an impulse to move or a yawn. Just noticing that each moment, this breath, this inhale, this exhale, is with that, is inside that. It is not alone. It is not encapsulated and pushed away. It's part of your living, breathing, being right now. And it's okay. It's feeling pain and feeling worry, feeling concern, feeling sadness is part of what comes from your capacity to love. So take a moment to feel that at the same time, that your worry grows in the ground of your love. And both are constantly streamed through by your breathing. And there can be grief in that as well as gratitude. No matter what, this quality of the breath of life, this amazing constant wave motion that life creates in every moment in each of us, is inside each pain, each concern. Each fear, and inside each feeling of love. Each feeling of gratitude. Each feeling of compassion. And compassion is the bridge between pain, suffering, fear, and love. And breath, this breath. And this breath. is constantly moving inside and through each of those. In this space where we have the courage and the openness to feel that is also where our sense of the greater spirit is very close. So just take a moment to actually feel that, to turn your attention to this sense of spirit, to this sense of God, to this sense of how love, presence is a field of life. That we touch, that our awareness can touch through the openness, our willingness to feel the pain and the love in all its aspects. It's a possibility that we share with all other human beings. Many, many, many people, people that we know and people that we don't, are practicing it. This morning, this day, this night, everywhere in the world. Just as we have been for thousands of years. Noticing what that thought, that's of course a thought or an image, sense of being part of wider humanity throughout time and space. Just holding that thought, but at the same time noticing this moment, this time, your space, your body space right now, your breath, this moment. Delicately allowing each out-breath to settle you a bit more deeply. As close or as deeply as your system wants to go right now. Here at this edge of the unknown. The unknown of wholeness. and allowing both that sense of dropping and also still to let whatever pain or worry you hold that lives inside of you to be there and to be held in this space, this wholeness. There is no wholeness without pain. There is no wholeness without love. There is no wholeness without wonder. There is no wholeness without gratitude. And letting your awareness follow also the sense of each breath and all the ways it touches you, it moves your body inside. Every single part of your body. Shifts delicately with each in-breath and each out-breath. Letting your awareness widen and relax into feeling all of that, like the forest of your body. Like when we sit in a forest and listen, feel, the air, it's not focused, it's not one place. We are immersed in this sense of forest all around us. In the same way we are immersed in body, our inner forest. Letting your awareness widen further into the space that you are in, the space, the room that you're in, but also the space around the room that you're in. Sounds and sensations. Giving your heart feeling this deepening into a sense of where you and spirit meet, blend. That this is in all your awareness. This is in your awareness of the space around you, it's in the awareness of your toes. It's in the awareness of your pain or your worry. It's in the awareness of your love or your compassion or your gratitude. It lives in the essence of your awareness. It's just usually covered by other things. And from this space that we share with each other right now, send some energy, send the sense of caring, well-wishing to those beings that you are concerned about right now. And there's an old saying that it's not just what I generate that goes to the people that I care about, or plants or animals, or the parts of the world or the society that I care about, but each of the people, each of the societies, plants, animals, each of them receive in full all the care, all the love, all the presence, all the healing quality that we generate together. Because that's how compassion works at this level. Kind of like a symphony. There is no limit to how many people can enjoy it in full. This is the silent symphony of the heart. And it's time to finish this meditation. Again, taking the time to make a bridge from this state, a doorway to the rest of your day, to your normal consciousness, normal activities. Leaving that space open so that there is a constant possibility of just letting your awareness drift into this or towards this whenever you want to or need to, or whenever it just happens by itself. And if you want to, you can take a little game with you until we meet again. It's the game of noticing every day, maybe once, maybe many times, what brings out your curiosity. What touches you with awe, with wonder? It can be something simple. And sometimes it's also quite humorous. I've put out horsehair in my garden. The horses are losing their winter fur. So when I comb it off, I put it out in the garden and the little birds come and they get it to put in their nests for their eggs. And when they gather it and they fly off with it, they kind of all look like little Christmas elves. You know, they have this huge beard that they're flying off with, which is both, it's deeply moving and it's also very funny. So, just as a game that you can play.